Without further ado, I want to introduce our next presenter, a very dear friend of mine. I've known him since 2010. He is somebody that always gets me motivated and inspired. And I just want to share that, you know, we've been doing this freedom thing for quite some time, and it's really rewarding and inspiring to see that there's many people in our community that are purchasing land and literally building intentional communities. We're going to hear from River and Amani later. They're doing it in Tennessee. Jesse Elder shared his story as well, where somebody that's had a dream and a vision for building a conscious agora. They've had it for quite some time, and they kept at it through ups and downs, smiles and frowns, sure, a lot of stress, a lot of uncertainty, but they kept pushing and pushing. And at the end of the day, persistence is really one of the key characteristics of successful people. And my good friend Derek Brose has found immense success in creating freedom for himself, teaching people how to create freedom. And he's here today to share about this incredible project that they're embarking on. And again, it's just been awesome to see it go from idea to actual fruition. And I want you guys, as you're listening along, to think to yourself, how can I pull this off as well? Because at the end of the day, we can all do it. We just have to keep at it. And this is somebody that's definitely kept at it, and he's going to keep on keeping at it. Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Derek Brose.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Make some noise for yourself. How was that lunch? Yeah. Hey, and before I get started, I really do want to say thank you, John, everybody in the crew. Thanks for keeping the music going, brother. And something that I want to just take note of as somebody who organizes events and speaks at a lot of events is this cleaning station, put your napkin there, this and that. It might seem like a silly, subtle thing to some of you, but to me, if our movements are ever going to create real, true freedom, we need to think holistically. And if we're going to come together and talk about freedom and building better worlds, wouldn't it be great if we just didn't leave a bunch of trash behind everywhere we went and instead composted or recycled, you know? It's just something I think is important to incorporate. So yeah, I'm excited to talk to you guys. I am going to be sharing about, as John said, our project. Who knows Miriam, my lovely partner right here, Miriam Gomez. If you haven't met her, raise your hand, baby. We've been working on this project for going on 3 years now. And what I'm here today to share is, for the first time publicly since we bought the land 3 weeks ago. Thank you, guys. We're going to share about what our community is doing, you know, the vision of kind of what we're trying to create. And also the process that we took, and I want to make it clear, I'm not here to say this is the process that will work for everybody or that you all need to follow or move to Mexico or any of that. Like, I'm just sharing our vision, what worked for us and the way we've approached it. Hopefully you can take some inspiration, some ideas, and the things that don't work, throw them aside and take what does work. Does that sound good? Because the reason I say that is we have a beautifully diverse community of freedom-minded people here. But if you look around this room, let's take a look around this room. We've got different people from across the US and maybe elsewhere, different skin colors. We got men, women here, all different backgrounds of people coming together. Something brought you here, the name Exit and Build, talking about land solutions, right? But I never want to make the assumption that we are going to agree on everything, right? And I think that's okay. We shouldn't be afraid to be among people who we don't agree with on every topic. I think there's so much division right now. People think the answer is, I'm just going to go to people who think exactly like me, and that'll make the world better. But for me, I think the beauty and diversity is that we learn from each other. So what I'm going to share again is our vision, our journey, and hopefully it inspires you in some way. So let's go ahead and dive in. First off, our project is called the Conscious Agora Eco Village. And one thing to remember. So John and I organized an event in January called the Greater Reset. Has anybody been to the Greater Reset here in Texas or in Mexico? Yes. We're going to be announcing the dates for the next one next week, so stay tuned. The Greater Reset happens at the same time that the World Economic Forum meets in Davos, Switzerland. Our idea was, this is where the whole exit and build idea comes from as well, from my book, How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State, which is what inspired a lot of what we're doing here today. But this idea, exiting and building, getting out of the cities, exiting and building from systems, political systems, financial systems, et cetera, that don't align with our values, right? Trying to build a better world. It was something that I talked about before the Great Reset was announced. Is that phrase familiar to anybody here? The Great Reset, does that make sense to anybody? What if I said COVID-1984? Does that mean anything to anybody here? Okay, cool. Okay, so, but before all those things came into our life, I was talking about this idea, And it's really rooted in the philosophies of agorism and counter-economics. And that's a topic for another day. But for those who care, that's the root. That's what inspired me and John. Agorism, A-G-O-R-I-S-M. I've written about it. It's in this book. John's talked about it. Building a better world, essentially, is what it's about. But not through politics, not through violence, not through apathy, but exiting from those systems and building better ones. Building parallel systems, parallel networks, parallel economies. That's our big focus here. That's what we're trying to do. So I was talking about this prior to COVID, and I knew that we needed to start thinking of what was going to come next. And I actually first described the Conscious Agora in my third book called Manifesto of the Free Humans, which is part of the Conscious Resistance trilogy. And this was written by another John, friend of mine, John Vibes. We were sort of describing in our perfect vision of a world, personally, we're voluntarists, so we would like a world without government, where all relationships are voluntary and consensual. And we wanted to imagine what would our ideal community within that space look like. And that was really the seeds of what we call the Conscious Agora today. And the Conscious Agora is built around three core principles. And everything that we do and that we're doing in Mexico, but also the vision is of a larger network of communities that are united by these common principles. So you see here at the top, sovereignty of the individual. This would be things like the non-aggression principle, self-ownership. Does anybody here think they own themselves, their body, their mind, and should be the ones to make choices for themselves? That is a core foundational principle of our community. Anybody who spent time going through and searching through intentional communities, again, I said the beauty of diversity and thought, it's important. But at the same time, you might not necessarily want to build a community with somebody who doesn't think you own yourself and doesn't think you should have control of what goes in your body. And some of you might have noticed the last 3 years, even in the intentional community permaculture space, there was a lot of division because some communities required shots. Some communities required masks. Others didn't. So even in those spaces, there was somewhat of a separation. So for us, we start with that as the core thing, sovereignty of the individual. We want to build community, but every single person owns themselves. And we want to find, we're seeking to find that balance between community and individuality, community and privacy. The second bottom left is what I call permagora, which is just bringing together permaculture and what I mentioned earlier, agorism. And the reason we talk about that is because even in the permaculture community, sometimes people are worried about licenses and permits and this and that. And agorism is basically the idea that if you're not harming anybody, you should just do things, right? Why do I need to ask the government for permission to build on my own land? Things like that, right? So taking the ideas of agorism and combining them with permaculture principles. And permaculture is a design philosophy. It's not just about how you grow your food and how you build your buildings, but it's about how you relate to the land, how you relate to the animals, and trying to establish some harmony, some equilibrium. I'll show you guys my shirt I'm wearing under here. Like I said, I'm a voluntarist. Another word for that is, and don't be scared of this, is anarchist. And this shirt says, liberation for the animals, for humans, and for the earth. And that's kind of core to what we're building. Permagora. The other cornerstone is what we call mindfulness. And obviously, that's kind of broad. This doesn't mean that our community has a must meditate 1 hour a day on a weekly basis to be a member or anything of that sort. It simply means that we're looking to work with other people who have emotional intelligence, emotional maturity, and are open to dialogue, nonviolent communication. Anybody familiar with nonviolent communication, conscious communication? If you're not, well, thank you to everybody who raised your hand. But if you're not, I want to encourage you to go to my brother Kenny back there. Kenny, raise your hand real quick, brother. He's given a nonviolent communication workshop on Sunday. Very essential, because as you're going to hear from Kenny and from other people, including myself, that yes, it's important to know the land and all the features we're going to go over here. But if our human shit isn't figured out, the perfect piece of land is going to turn into a nightmare. All right, so does that make sense to anybody here? Because you can throw a bunch of freedom-loving people together and think because we met at Exit and Build, we're going to build a wonderful community. But you forget that we all come from different backgrounds, different traumas, different ways of communicating. Some of us never learn to communicate. Some of us learn to be quiet and silent when we're mad, or to slam doors, or to run away, or to avoid things, right? And we think by just going and finding the perfect piece of land and putting us all together, it's going to solve everything. But there's still more work to do. So we are specifically seeking, and the people we're working with are seeking to continue to grow as people. We don't ever want to be static. We want to continue to grow, to continue to learn. And then you see in the white part that combines with counter-economics, agorism, that philosophy to create what we call the Conscious Agora. And so I first outlined this vision in 2016, going into 2017, and I said that I was going to do it in 2020. And wouldn't you know it, COVID-1984 came along and it was the perfect inspiration to say, why wait 5 to 10 years? Let's do it now. Miriam and I had already decided that we wanted to move to Mexico. She has family in Mexico. We've been visiting for the last 6-7 years now and traveling through Mexico and really falling in love with the culture and the land. And so we already knew this was the direction we were going to go. March 2020 happened. They start, I don't know if you guys remember this, the toilet paper disappearing and stuff like that. That was it. That's all we needed to see. It was time to go. If the toilet paper's running out, something's wrong. So March 2020, they start talking about checking license plates leaving New York City. They start talking about potentially restricting interstate travel. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have red lines, things that you're not willing to accept. If you don't, it's important to know these things because otherwise you'll keep taking shit until you have a line that you're not willing to go past. And for me, I've always known that if there was ever talk of restricting my ability to travel around the United States or my city or state, that was not a good sign. And that was probably time for me to bug out or, you know, figure some plan out. So when I started hearing that conversation, and again, knowing Miriam and I had already signed up, we were going to be taking a permaculture course in Costa Rica in 2020. It ended up being online instead of in person. But we already knew this was the direction we were headed, but we were thinking a couple years from now, we'll end up in Mexico. But when we heard that, and when the toilet paper disappeared, and the license plate check started, and the talk of shutting the border down, we packed up the Jeep and drove 5.5 hours to the border and crossed into Mexico and made it the day before they announced the border was closing. It never closed. It was all bullshit. The border was open the whole time. That's a conversation for another day. So we went down to Mexico, and we'd never been to where we are now, Morelia, Mexico. Yeah, we'll go there. Which is central Mexico, 3.5 hours west of Mexico City, up in the mountains. But it just, you know, synchronicity brought us to Morelia, where we're at. This is where we host the Greater Reset in Mexico. It's about 6,200 feet elevation, pretty perfect weather year-round, rainy season, dry season. I think it's mango and pitaya season right now. And I'm not talking about the green mangoes you guys see at the store that never ripen. I'm talking about real mangoes that just fell off a tree. So after coming to Mexico and deciding, yep, this is where we're going to be, in September 2020, I put out the announcement through my following. For those who don't know my work, my website's theconsciousresistance.com. I would love if you come subscribe and follow what we're doing there. But I put out the call out saying, if you're interested in this community I'm building, reach out to me. Miriam and I got 400 emails from around the world, dozens of countries of people saying, like, yes, I want to sign up today and all kinds of things. We put together an application process, asking a few different questions. We sent that out to everybody. We got about 200 or so responses. We put that all in a spreadsheet and we narrowed it down to 50 people. And a few of the factors that we personally were looking for, now some communities approach where, like, you must have X amount of dollars in the bank or you must have this amount of down payment. We didn't really want to approach it that way. Obviously money is important and money's a factor, but there are also very talented people, and I'm sure even some here, who are kind of light on the, you know, the bank account, but could build anything that you could ever possibly need, that have skills and will be very useful, right? So we wanted to balance looking at people's, what is their financial situation? What skills are they bringing to the table? As you can see here, were they long-term or short-term? We were only looking for people who wanted to be long-term, full-time versus part-time. We really didn't, you know, you can't build a community if everybody's part-time. So different factors like that. And then yes, financial resources was a part of it and skills. But the biggest thing, which is at the bottom there, was that the vision was aligned. What I just described to you of the Conscious Agora, that people, like when we ask them, okay, what are your financial resources you're bringing to the table? What skills do you have to offer? How many people are in your family? What is it, full-time, short, full-time, or part-time? All those questions. The bottom was, describe your vision of an intentional community, the eco-village you want to live a part of. And the way people described it very much was, I'd say, the biggest deciding factor, because there are some times where the vision wasn't aligned exactly, right? And besides those three core principles, we have these other guiding values that I'm going to go over. But I want to make clear, though, for anybody who is kind of interested in this idea of what I'm talking about, of the Conscious Agora as a network of communities around the world. What I mean by that is, let's say you build a community here in Central Texas or in Oregon or Canada or anywhere in the world. If your community believes in sovereignty of the individual, bodily autonomy, all the things we discussed, mindfulness, wanting to continue to grow, to evolve as people, maybe practicing things like nonviolent communication, et cetera, and is going to use permaculture principles, we want to work with you. We want those to be the three cornerstones of a network of communities around the world. And beyond that, there'll be differences. There'll be the beautiful differences of how people approach that. But those three core principles, I feel like, could unite a lot of different disparate communities. And then together we can start building this parallel system, these parallel networks of food, exchange, et cetera, et cetera. So beyond those three core principles, though, things that we feel are important, were off-grid, that we didn't necessarily want anybody to come move to the community to build a house from the suburbs. And that doesn't mean that everybody needs to live in Adobe House or anything like that. We really leave it open. Like, some people are thinking of Earthships. I know we're going to hear from Michael Reynolds soon. Miriam and I want to build a Cobb house, and Cobb and Adobe are really common in Mexico. There's others who are talking about doing the geodesic domes, different structures. It's just that we want to focus on off-grid and natural building. And as I mentioned earlier, balancing community with privacy. We are all very strong, proud individuals that are a part of this community. And we want the benefits of working together and collaborating and safety and security and all the stuff that comes with community. But we also, as I said, don't want to be beholden to each other necessarily. We want this as voluntarists, as people that believe all relationships should be voluntary and consensual. We want people who are motivated to be a part of the community, but we also don't want it to feel like it's a prison sentence or something. You know, we want people to be happy and to volunteer to participate and to want to be a part of the relationship we're building. So we're balancing some of those things. That was important for us, though, because we've recognized in some people's vision, again, not saying what's mine's right and theirs is wrong or vice versa, but for some people's vision, they want to live in the same house as other people. Like, our community, everybody's going to own their own home, have their own plot. We're just going to have different resources, as I'll show you in a moment. I mean, this property has banana trees, avocados, limes, pears, pomegranates, apples, wild berries, 2 fresh springs. Yeah, all those things. That's owned by everybody. We all get the benefit of that, but we'll have our own individual plot and home within there with your title, your name, this is yours, etc. And so that's what I mean by kind of balancing community, privacy, individuality. Self-defense. To our community, it is absolutely essential to be able to defend ourselves, and we think otherwise would be a mistake. And this doesn't necessarily mean firearms. Mexico does allow gun ownership, despite what some people think, different laws and regulations to go around if you want to do that. And that's one aspect of that. But in general, preparedness, community preparedness, what do we do in case of emergency, whatever that may mean. Maybe taking a self-defense class together, things like that, right? And not saying that everybody in the community is going to be the warrior. If we ever have a problem, everybody runs to the front line, anything like that. And again, we're not calling in any of this stuff. But I also think we'd be silly and stupid to not think of self-defense. So for our community, that is an essential part. And again, for some communities, they don't believe in firearms. They don't even, they're pacifists or whatever. So this would be not appropriate for them. But for us, we wanted to make that clear to anybody who is potentially coming to our community. Know from the beginning, we believe in self-defense. All right, integration with the local community. This is important to us. I think it's important anywhere, but it's especially important to us being in Mexico, right? There are a lot of people who move to Mexico and they live in expat bubbles and they don't know how to speak Spanish. They don't talk to any Mexicans and they just stay in their own little areas. And that's fine if that's your path, but that is not our path. We live in a part of Mexico that is not a tourist area, where it's very rare for us to hear English, where it's very rare for us to see, you know, somebody from the US or Europe or whatever. And we kind of enjoy that. We're part of Mexico. We're in there. We're not in some bubble that is just taking advantage of the low prices and this and that. And for us, being where we live, especially on the part of the mountain we're at, there's one family, there's at least 3 families in proximity to us. So that's like our neighbors. Those are the only people there. We've been getting to know them the last couple of years. We want to work with them. We want to collaborate with them. One of the families that has been living there basically on the land over the last 8 years, the husband is the caretaker of the land, and he's the one who put in the drip system and who knows how to take care of the plants. And he's going to be an essential part of what we're building, right? We want to work with people. So for us, that's important. But again, whether you're in Mexico or not, imagine this. And I've said this about living in the cities, the suburbs, but it can apply in the countryside too. If you are living in an area where you don't know your neighbors and your neighbors are actually indoctrinated to think people like you who want to grow your own food and live outside the system are crazy, that's not good security. I mean, being around a bunch of people that if the shit hits the fan think, but you're the problem. You wouldn't take the dang jab or you wouldn't listen to this thing or whatever. You believe in that misinformation, right? So wouldn't it be a good idea to be either around like-minded people and or build relationships with your neighbors? Doesn't mean you're going to be best friends. Doesn't mean that you're going to agree on everything. But if there's an emergency situation and your neighbor doesn't know you, are they likely to come together and band and build a freedom cell to you with that at the very last minute? No, that's why it's important that we do these things now. But also in our situation, let's say that something was to go wrong in our community and we have no connection to our neighbors. Well, we're just some Americans that they don't know. You know, why would they come help us? But that's what we want to avoid, right? We want to build, actually be a part of the community, be integrated. And generally speaking, Mexican people are very helpful, neighborly, and things of that sort. So that's something we want to maintain, and I think that's an important aspect. Again, for us, for any new members potentially coming in, we want them to know you're not coming into an expat retreat. That's not what we're building. Yes, it's going to be beautiful, and it already is, but we plan to be integrated. We plan to be connected to the local community. And also respect for animal life. And this is where, again, I say the conscious agora, sovereignty of the individual, permagora, mindfulness. For us, we're not a vegan community. I think just under half of us are vegan or plant-based, but we have meat eaters in the community. And so we've had, as I said, we went from 400 initial emails, 200 applicants, narrowed that down to 50 people. When we bought the land 3.5 weeks ago, it's 4 founding families. That's our process of the last 3 years. And we decided, once it sort of naturally shrank down to, for different reasons over the last couple of years of getting to know each other, and some people realizing, okay, well, this isn't exactly the vision I have. I'll go look elsewhere, which is a good thing. It's not a bad thing if people come and go, because ultimately we want them to find what works for them, and we want to work with the people that understand our vision, right? So this was definitely one of the areas where some people decided they wanted to go a different direction. How do you balance vegans with non-vegans? And how do you balance permaculture, which uses animals, and there's veganic permaculture. And really, again, permaculture is about establishing a relationship with the land and the animals. So you can work with animals as opposed to abuse them or only use them for your human ends. But my point is, we had a lot of conversations about this, and I'll tell you guys, in the end, our compromise or our agreement was that, for one, any animal coming onto the property, whether that's for like, hey, we're going to work with the chickens to fertilize the ground, or I want to get a pet dog, that we take them on a case-by-case basis. Because I don't know if you guys are aware of this, maybe some of you experienced this, but animals are actually, more pets than farm animals, are typically some of the biggest sources of conflict in communities. Your dog bit my dog, your dog won't stop barking, your dog shit on my plants, you know, these kinds of things. Like, these are seriously like breaking points for a lot of people. So knowing that, we said, okay, case by case basis, we're going to take our time with each animal, figure it out. But then as far as the vegan aspect, we agree that any animals that come onto the property, whether we work with them to fertilize the ground or they are staying as pets for the community, that no animal brought onto the property could be slaughtered. You can eat whatever you want in your own house. So the meat eaters can still eat meat from the local butcher right down the street, or they can buy it from wherever, but no animals brought onto the land will be slaughtered. And that was just the compromise that worked for us. And again, for a couple of friends, they're like, you know what? I want to be able to slaughter my own animals, so that's not going to work for me. And that's fine. So they're working on their community that does that. For us, though, that was our way to find a balance. I got 10 minutes, so I'm going to start speeding through this. How we got to know each other over the last 3 years. As I said, we started this in September 2020. We sent out the emails. We got all these different responses. Then in October 2020, we started having these biweekly online calls, because you got to remember, this is middle of COVID. So October 2020, everybody's mostly locked down. We start having biweekly calls with the 50 people that we narrowed it down to, just getting to know each other. And from October 2020 till May 2021, in that less than a year process, the number, as I said, it ebbed and flowed. Some people were really excited and started getting involved, and maybe they realized they're busier than they thought. Other people, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but a lot of people went back to sleep. Even in the middle of COVID, some people, they got all like, oh my God, I got to grow food, I need to get land. And they're like, okay, things are going back to normal, never mind, I'll just keep doing that, because that won't ever happen again. Climate lockdowns. So we started having these calls, starting to get to know each other. And that book right there in the middle, I'm sure many of you heard about it, Creating a Life Together. It is a really powerful tool. I'm not going to say it has all the answers, but it's got a lot of information, a lot of data by, and she actually spoke here last year, I believe, right, John? And they just visited communities all around the country, and it's more specific to the U.S., but it has a lot of good info. And some of those things include exercise, like the ones we put up there, the non-negotiables and unspoken expectations. I can't remember how they, hidden expectations, something like that. But those two exercises, among others in there, when we did those as a group, it helped certain things come up, right? So, for example, the non-negotiables, we were just doing this exercise the other day, asking people to really think, what can't you live without in a community? And what, like, what's essential and what won't you accept? Those kind of things, right? And so take some time to think about it. And until you really stop and think, maybe you expect that people will shut up after 9 p.m. at night. But if that's not verbalized and communicated, then maybe you end up on the land, already purchased, living next to each other, and then you discover your neighbor loves to, you know, jam out on their drum set till midnight or whatever, right? These kinds of things, you can't prepare for every situation, but exercises like this are really good at bringing up conversations and thinking. So again, one of our new incoming members was like, well, self-defense is really important to me, and that's already kind of something we're doing. The what was it, the time issue that I just brought up, somebody was like, well, yeah, I hope that we can all agree that after 9 p.m. or something, it's quiet hours. And so we have a discussion about that. And internet, somebody's like, well, I have to have internet because I work, you know, online, just like myself. Okay, that's going to be a conversation because personally, we don't want to use Elon Musk Starlink. And we also don't want to be blanketed with EMF all the time. So how do we, you know, figure out, are we going to put the internet in one part of the land or everybody has internet, but then after 10 p.m. we all unplug it and turn it off so we can sleep? You know, these are conversations that come up by doing these different kinds of exercises. And that was been part of our process. Now, as far as finding the right land, there's some obvious things like the resources. These are all pictures from our land, by the way, right here. That's like where you can jump in the water. I'm going to show you guys a video at the end. That's why I got to hurry up. Resources. I mean, water, obviously essential. Sun, where we're at, there's plenty of sun. There's a lot of wind up in the mountains. There's, as I mentioned, fruit trees. There's dozens of avocado tree varieties. Local community, that woman in the last picture there is our friend slash second mom slash real estate agent. And the gentleman there was our, helped us with the survey. And then that's Jess, who's a part of our group. Finding the land, that's it right there. That's an aerial view. It's a little older of a picture, but that's basically, you can see that big pond is part of the property. So we're on the left side of that, the bottom side of that picture. So that whole, if you can see those trail going all the way down to the very bottom, that's where the water is. And like I said, I think this is a little old because there's more fruit trees and stuff, but that top part where the pond is the highest, and then it kind of slopes down, there's different levels, but down at the very bottom where the trees are and the water is the lowest point. And it's 23 acres. Organizing your community. So again, like I said earlier, key is making sure your vision is aligned, that you understand what your vision is first, and what you want other people to buy into and to believe, right? So for us, I should have said this earlier, but for us, we knew that we didn't want to join a community. Some of you might be coming here because you want to join a community, something like what we're talking about here. We knew we wanted to create something. Like we wanted to do something new that was our own thing and not join somebody else. And it's nothing against anything that anybody else is doing, but we have a very specific vision. And so that's one thing. Are you looking to build something yourself or just join something that's already done? The work's been done. You want to just come in, put your money down, buy your plot, move in, build your house. That's another approach as well. We're kind of, we're not taking that approach. We're collectively buying the land now. We've got our four core, what we call founding family. We've got a couple potential members on the way in. We have room for a couple of more that will open up in the next year. And, you know, so we're taking our time, but we're not really in a rush to bring in new people because we want to make sure that that vision is aligned. Talk about your legal and non-legal structures. I can only speak specifically to my experience in Mexico. We're going to be creating what's called a civil society, or there's two of them. There's a civil association and a civil society. And basically, they're like clubs in Mexico. So people can, you might consider it similar to a PMA in a way, but not exactly the same. But like somebody could make a soccer civil association and it's just dedicated to their favorite sports team. We're creating a civil association that is a ecological club, the Conscious Agora. And as members of this club, you get access to the land, right? So we're going to have, as far as the government's going to be concerned, though, it's just a club that owns this land and it's an ecological spot to take care of it, do permaculture, et cetera. And our vision is to host retreats and events, bring down people to talk about permaculture, meditation, healing from trauma, organizing, self-defense, all the things I talked about. We want this to be a part of it. And we're going to have our little village, but the goal really is this holistic education center. Decision-making. We spend a lot of time coming to our decision-making process, our conflict resolution, and talking about mediation. If you're not familiar with sociocracy, I encourage you to check out sociocracy, learn more about it. There's a couple of different variations of it, but it's a helpful decision-making process. This might not apply for all of you if you're just planning on buying your homestead and making your own, doing whatever you want. But if you're going to work with other people, there might be times where you disagree and you need to have situation, you need to have systems put in place. Because right now our group gets along great. We rarely ever disagree on anything. We can work through anything. But there might come a time where we don't feel so aligned on things and we have agreements already in writing. This is how we're going to handle if we need to make decisions. And if we can't come to a decision after 6 months, we're going to hire a mediator. We, you know, we went through this conversation figuring out, what do we do if we can't agree? How do we resolve conflict? Because we're not the kind of people that call the cops. We're going to figure it out ourselves. What does community mean to you? Living situation, expectations. How does a community fund itself? I really got to rush through that because I want you guys to see the video of the land. So if you have questions about this, come let me know. But I kind of touched on this. We're going to live in our own homes, on the land, share the resources, the fruits, etc. But we're going to have our own things. As far as expectations, we again, we're looking for people who want to do permaculture, off-grid, etc. But we don't have a criteria or a quota per week that you must do X, Y, or Z. And the way we're going to fund ourselves is through the Holistic Education Center by hosting events on the property and bringing people there to learn and essentially try to activate people to then go take the skills and apply them where they live. And the final thing, guys, is this is all about building the 2030 of our dreams. That's what we're working on. We know that they're working on Agenda 2030, Great Reset or whatever. That's why you're here. You wouldn't be here if you didn't think things were right out there, right? But we all recognize that there's enough time spent focusing on the problems. That's why we need to focus on what we want. What is your 2030? My 2030 is liberation, freedom, free-range kids, healthy food, clean water, organic, living right with Creator, and helping other people do the same. That's the vision we're after, guys. It's 2023. We're halfway through this year. We've got 6.5 years to build what we want for ourselves. I'm going to end with this video.
Hey, everyone. My name is Derek Bros. For the last 13 years, I've been an activist and a journalist, and I've been looking for freedom. I've been looking for community, trying to understand how to create a better world. And I've done so many different things to try to do this. I've done protests and rallies and marches. I even ran for mayor, thinking that maybe this was the way to create the world that I want. And over the years, I've come to see that it's not really going to lead to the change I want, that if I want to see change in the world, I need to be that change. I need to create it myself and live it and embody it. And so in 2016, I started thinking about this idea of creating an eco-village called the Conscious Agora. It would be built around the ideas of individual liberty, permaculture, and mindfulness, trying to create a better world, be better people, continually evolving as people all around. And I've been working on this idea for the last few years, but it wasn't till 2020, when my partner Miriam and I moved to Mexico, that this project really took on its next phase.
Hola, my name is Miriam, and my desire to live in harmony with all life has led me to learn permaculture, to learn different healing modalities, and also organize community events like group meditations and yoga classes. Our decision to move to Mexico led us to Morelia, Michoacán, a beautiful mountainous region known for its vast bodies of water and its rich soils. This right here is where we found the land and future home of the Conscious Agora, filled with hills and springs and mountain water and delicious fruit trees. We fell in love. We looked for beautiful people who shared a similar vision. And for the last 2 years, we have been working together to strengthen that bond, that relationship. And now, these are the founding members of the Conscious Agora.
Hi, my name is Jess. Leading sea kayaking trips on the west coast of Canada gave me the opportunity to share my love for the wild and outdoor spaces and reconnect with nature. Now I'm excited to be part of this project, the Conscious Agora, that together with your help, will live as an example of what's possible when we live in a holistic and symbiotic connection with the natural world and each other.
Hi, my name's Ethan, and I am super stoked to be a part of this project. We've got a beautiful piece of land here in mind. It's phenomenal. For the last like 10, 12 years of my life, I've really been longing to be a participant in something like this that's focused on individual autonomy within community, as well as earth restoration and regenerative agricultural practices, permaculture, and all that kind of stuff. I've been into it for a number of years now, and I've been following Derek's work for about 5 years now, starting in 2018. When he put out the invite to participate in this, I was super excited. I was like, man, I gotta get involved in that. So here I am. They welcomed me into the project. The vision that Derek and Miriam have outlined of building somewhat of a template or a model for other communities to emulate and build from, that's very unique. There's nobody out there that I'm aware of doing this. So with your help, we can make that possible.
That was our crowdfunding video, so we're talking about fundraising, but that's the community, guys. If you want to learn more, theconsciousagora.com. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you. Go build your communities. Do something beautiful. Create your 2030.
Anti Bros live free.
All right, Derek. Woo!
How inspiring, huh?
He's really doing it.